News Talk Breakfast.
In association with AIR. Do anything, anywhere with high-speed 4G mobile data coverage across 96% of the population.
This is News Talk.
Seven on News Talk Breakfast with Kieran Cudahy and Shane Coleman. Now, that independent auditor's report into the tender process for the state's rural broadband contract has been given to government. Some leaks over the last 12 hours or so suggesting that the report will find that the process has not been fatally damaged by meetings between the sole remaining bidder and the former communications minister, Dennis Nocton. For more on this, we're joined by Timmy Doody, Fianna Fáil TD, and of course, spokesman for communications. Timmy, obviously, you haven't seen the detailed report at this stage, and none of us have, but it does seem lots of reports this morning and last night suggesting that the process had not been fatally damaged by those meetings. Would you be surprised by such a finding?
Yeah, good morning, Shane. Again, as you've rightly identified, I haven't seen the report. Obviously, I would have liked if the minister had provided me with an advanced copy on the basis of the situation that evolves. But, you know, we'll see it over the coming days. And what I'll try and do then is have a meeting with Mr. Smith just to get a background to his analysis of it. But, you know, to be honest, I've never felt that this was the be-all and end-all. The issue at the end of the day here is getting broadband to the 542,000 homes and premises dotted throughout Ireland, some in rural and some in less rural areas that are waiting on it. And the concerns that I have raised predated the issue of what was initially referred to as the inappropriate meetings between the minister, the then minister, and one of the bidders. The concerns I raised 14 months ago was why companies like the ESB and Vodafone under the brand Ciro, and they are pulled out of this tendering process. And it now seems to be the case that they didn't believe that there was a viable business in it. And if there wasn't a viable business for reputable companies like them, then one has to question how, in effect, this last bidder is in a position to roll out the broadband to those homes that need it. And don't forget, Mr. McCourt's company initially, or his consortium initially, was led by ENET. It involved SSE, a very large organisation in the electricity business in the UK, and John Lang, another international investor and infrastructural development company. They've all pulled out. So all you have left now as a remaining bidder, it's led by a finance house out of Boston, a private investment fund. And I don't believe that that organisation has the capabilities or the capacity to deliver against a really big project like this. And don't forget that the government have made promises to the Irish people back since 2012 that this would be completed initially by about 2016, but now estimating that it will be rolled out to all of those 542,000 premises by 2022.
Okay. The argument, Timmy, would be, look, this isn't rocket science we're talking about. Like, they may be a finance house, but they can buy in the expertise to do what needs to be done, and they also are a very reputable company. They can buy in that expertise. It isn't rocket science we're talking about here.
No, it's not rocket science, but it requires a very detailed level of project management. And in my view, the finance house does not have that project management expertise.
So what should the government do then? Should it go back to the drawing board?
So I don't think it's a matter of going back to the drawing board, because a lot of detailed work has been done. I think they've got to reassess the situation. And I asked for this 14 months ago. Had that been undertaken, I don't think we'd be in the position that we are today. There is a political imperative within government to get a contract signed so they can wave it in front of the Irish people and say, yes, we have done what we said we would do. Delivery is another thing. And I have real concerns about the capacity of the company that's now left to deliver on the other side of the signing of a contract. So if the government feel that they'll have their piece of it done as soon as the contract is signed, well, then I have great fears for the people who are waiting for broadband on the other side. You can even look for what the government have set aside in its budget this year I think about 78 million set aside towards rolling out broadband. And that's not going to get to too many homes, I can assure you.
Now, Timmy, you're focusing on the bigger picture, and that's totally understandable. And I know it's difficult for you to comment on a report you haven't seen, but your own leader was pretty categorical. He thought those meetings between the minister and the bidder had hopelessly compromised the process. Are you a little surprised even that it would seem that this report is saying that wasn't the case?
I'm a little surprised, yes. I think that's fair to say, but I will want to wait and read what Mr. Smith says, and I hope to have a follow up meeting with him, because he has obviously done his detailed work. But what I find hard to put together at this stage is that on the one hand, the Taoiseach required Minister Nocan to resign for his role in these meetings, but yet if you look at the agreements that would have been entered into by Mr. McCourt and all the bidders, there is certain requirements on them. In relation to the contact that they would make with the department or with any officials around it. And on any reading of it, it would appear that Mr. McCourt has, at a minimum, breached those particular aspects of what he had committed to doing. There is a basic principle of canvassing disqualifies. I don't think that you could in any way believe that there wasn't an effort at canvassing through these four or five meetings that took place, private meetings, I might add, without the presence of departmental officials. So, look, I'm prepared to wait and read the report.
But fair enough.
But in all honesty, the bigger picture is really where we have to focus.
Yeah, no, absolutely, and you've made that point. Just before we let you go, Timmy, you're also an area that also falls under your bailiwick is the issue of carbon taxes. Reports in the paper today suggesting from that ESRI report that the kind of carbon taxes that would be needed to bring us into line with the commitments we've made, the 2030 commitments we've made to reduce our emissions. The paper speculating, the ESRI have set down a series, anything up to €3,000, €1,500 to €3,000 to bring us into line. What is Fianna Fáil policy in relation to carbon taxes?
Well, we have said from the very start that there needs to be a phased introduction of a carbon tax. It's like any taxation that you have to bring in. The sooner you bring it in and you gradually increase it to ensure that the behaviour changes. But there's more than just carbon tax required in terms of our climate change commitments to get in line with 2020, which under the current trajectory that this government has set out, we won't achieve. I mean, the government have failed absolutely in relation to the transport sector. They have failed even in relation to the reduction in the use of fossil fuels in their own carbon sector. If you look, last year, Dublin Bus bought 110 dirty diesel buses. They should have been, the state should have been progressively moving towards biodiesel and other renewables in that area, looking at the use of hydrogen and some electric vehicles. So the state has been very slow to deal with,
In a word, Timmy, should the government have moved on carbon taxes in the last budget?
Yes, I think so. And in our negotiations with them, we had indicated a willingness to accept an increase in the carbon tax.
Okay, Timmy Doody, communications spokesperson for Fianna Fáil. Thanks indeed for talking to us this morning. Coming up next, we'll have all the sport, including is the Martin O'Neill era coming to an end? Stay with us.